Welcome to another edition of Bits Bits. I'm Chris, and I am here with the illustrious Matthew Toronto.
Hiya.
And we are here to discuss the Zero Escape series.
That's right.
I haven't played this series at all, so Mr. Matthew is going to be telling us all about it, and I'm here to prod him and poke him and get the juicy bits out of him that make up the Bits Bits.
I didn't know this was going to be the process.
Yep.
Is it too late to back out now?
Matthew, where did you think we got the bits?
They
got to come from somewhere.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
So
Let us proceed with the Zero Escape discussion.
So the series is called Zero Escape. I wonder, how many escapes are there?
That's for the players to find out, because each game is about a group of people that are trying to escape a deadly situation. And I don't think it actually started off being called the Zero Escape series. In fact, it started off being called 9 Persons, 9 Hours, 9 Doors. I may have mixed that up. It may have been 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors. But it's 9 of each of those things in some order. And it turned out to be kind of a big hit. So the creator ended up making a sequel to it and finally a third game. And the Zero Escape title actually came a little bit later when he wanted to sort of tie everything together.
Okay.
Although I guess I should clarify, when I say big hit, I mean in the sense of a visual novel. They aren't usually a very popular genre here, outside of Phoenix Wright. So they kind of went in with a small budget and ended up enjoying pretty modest success from both critics and players alike. The core premise of these games is that you're one of several people, maybe around 9 people, that are all locked in some sort of area. Like a building, or the first game's on a ship that's slowly sinking, and you all have a limited amount of time to get out of there. And in each game, there's someone kind of that's the mastermind of the whole thing called Zero. And you don't really know who Zero is. Is it someone you know? Is it someone you don't know? Zero shows up as just kind of this character in a hood and a gas mask, so you don't know, you don't see their face or anything. And that's, that's a core part of the mystery is, why are you here? Who are these other people I'm with? Do I know any of them? How do they relate to me? How do they relate to Zero? So this is kind of the core mystery of all 3 of the games. You're trying to get out of this situation. You don't know these other people you're with. Do you trust them? I don't know. And, there's a lot of decision-making in the game between the puzzle rooms. You'll have, in one game, you can decide who to go through this door with. Do you go through with person A, B, and C, or with person D, E, and F, In the second game, which is kind of a take on the Prisoner's Dilemma, they have this crazy, mini-game that you play between puzzle rooms where you can decide to ally with them or betray them. And allying with them means you trust them, and you both get points if you both ally. But if you betray them, you steal their points, and whoever has their points go down to 0 dies. So it's kind of and there's a little more to it. It's kind of taken off of the Prisoner's Dilemma. So there's kind of is he going to betray me? Should I betray him back? Kind of thing going on. So it's pretty fun. So you're sort of making these decisions as well as solving puzzles and making your way through the story.
Yeah. So is it kind of like Phoenix Wright in terms of the gameplay?
Well, a little bit. I would kind of use that as a starting point, of comparison.
Okay.
Where you'll go around these sort of puzzling areas. You'll talk to people in kind of that first-person view, see them head-on. It's got kind of this nice sprite work, the large characters and stuff. And you're at the end of the day, you're solving a big mystery.
Right.
But where the similarities differ are that, obviously, you're not in court. You're more in these deadly puzzle rooms. So, it's kind of an escape the puzzle sequence. You'll be in a locked room, and there'll be various items around, and you'll have to kind of click around and collect things and sort of put them together and solve puzzles to ultimately escape from the room. And once you do that, typically you'll get into a story sequence where you'll talk to the characters and such, and basically you'll eventually find your way in another one of these locked rooms, and hopefully by the end you can escape from the entire facility where you're trapped.
Gotcha. That reminds me of these actual rooms they have in real life that are called escape rooms, I believe.
Yeah, I heard about those only a couple weeks ago. I'm not super familiar with those, but from what I've heard about them, that sounds actually a pretty good analog to the core gameplay of these games. So that's pretty cool. I'd like to try that out.
Yeah, I think in the real ones you don't get killed, though.
Oh, okay. You think so?
I mean, I'm not sure.
only one way to find out. So that's the basic gameplay of the games. But there's a little bit more to it. There's kind of the decision-making going on. that kind of leads to different endings. And in the second and third games, each have their own unique gameplay wrinkles that they kind of use to add to the mix as well. But that's kind of a general overview of them.
So what's your favorite part of the series? It sounds like to me that it hits a lot of the buttons that you really respond to well, such as it's got like the visual novel, Phoenix Wright sort of thing, has strong characters and dialogue. But what's really your favorite part of it?
I feel like the cast really sticks with me. I think they're pretty well developed. And I would say it differs a little bit from Phoenix Wright stylistically, and that's a much darker series. Phoenix Wright, it's about murder cases, but it still keeps it pretty lighthearted with a lot of the jokes and stuff and the kind of character designs, and it never gets too grisly with the actual killings. The Zero Escape series goes a little bit further with that. It's pretty unnerving with the descriptions of gore and stuff in the first game. And the third game has a fair amount of actual on-screen violence. So, they're M-rated games, they've got some pretty bad language, but I think that's actually part of the appeal, is that whole kind of grittier, like, anything goes feel, where you kind of expect some characters to die along the way. And it makes it, it has a little bit of that horror appeal, where you're sort of on edge for a lot of it. But yeah, I would say, like you said, the writing and the characters are I would say, both very strong throughout the series, and it's probably the main highlight.
Gotcha. So, compared to, say, Phoenix Wright, in which there's clearly some games that are stronger than others, some cases that really stand out, would you say that the Zero Escape series has a similar ebb and flow to it? It sounds like it's pretty consistent, and it's pretty enjoyable all throughout, but how would you rank the games, for example? Which one's the best, which one's not so much the best?
Well, I guess to answer that, you kind of have to look a little bit deeper into each of the games and what they're trying to accomplish. Unlike Phoenix Wright, which can often tell this overarching story, but it's also split kind of into episodes, like the cases, each of these games tells their own full story, and they kind of link into each other. So, with that said, the first game, I think, does a really good job of introducing the whole concept, and I think it's a pretty balanced game in terms of balancing the character stuff and the puzzle stuff. The second game is actually my favorite, though. I feel like that took everything to the next level in terms of the gameplay and the main hook of the game. In fact, I think the second game did a really good job of playing with the concept of telling a story that can only be told in game form, which is always a big plus in my mind. I feel like the best way to experience the game, second game, which is Virtue's Last Reward, is through a video game. You couldn't tell this type of story with a movie, at least nearly as effectively. And the third game, Zero Time Dilemma, I think is kind of probably the weakest of the series, because it feels like, instead of making a really good visual novel, they made a kind of good sort of series of cutscenes. It's kind of like what we had discussed with that sort of less is more thing, where whenever you go from just characters standing in front of you talking to fully acted out cutscenes and things, there's a lot more stuff you have to make sure is top notch. And because the budget of the game wasn't very good, the cutscenes and stuff, they have very stilted animations. It kind of reminds me of the Nintendo 64 days.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, as a result, you can't, like, take the dialogue at its own pace either, which is I don't know, it's something I always kind of like in storytelling, in, like, these visual novel games. It's kind of pausing on, like, a big line or something, or, being able to take dialogue at a faster pace if you need to. They have to kind of match the voice acting with the cutscenes themselves, which makes the voice acting weaker as well. So I think those elements kind of hurt the third game, and I'd say it's the weakest of the trilogy, even though I still enjoyed it. So yeah, I'd say second game, then first game, then third game.
If you could change one thing about the series, what would that be? Is there something that you think the whole series kind of missed the mark on, or not?
Well, kind of. There's a major element to the first game. Now, I should tell our readers, I'm not going to be discussing any spoilers here, because these are actually very story-heavy games with a lot of core mysteries, in their plots. That I'm not going to, I wouldn't want to ruin for people. But I will say the first game, to get the best ending, you have to play through a few times. And not only that, but you have to unlock a specific other ending before you can get the best ending. So there's sort of a prerequisite path that it's a little hard to know without consulting an FAQ or something which way you actually need to go to get the best ending. And that's something they actually fixed in the sequels. But with the sequels, they introduced a new story element that kind of takes away some of the dramatic weight of what happens. And I guess that's about as specific as I can get. But I feel like if they can't really make a fourth game because of how the stakes have changed in these games based on their storylines. So I guess that's about as specific as I can go into without spoiling a big part of them.
I see. When you were talking about Layton versus Ace Attorney,
yeah.
There's that aspect of it that just drove you bonkers. Was there anything like that in the games, or did they kind of avoid any pitfall that horrible?
actually, yeah, there's a yeah, they kind of fall into that a couple times. There's a pretty infamous little twist in the third game that most people are like, what? Come on. So there's that, and I actually feel like the first game, which is overall probably the most well received of them, has a yep. couple elements story-wise that I feel are a little, that kind of break the rules, if that makes sense. Mainly regarding kind of the best path.
I see.
So it's not perfect. There's a few elements that I feel like you have to kind of suspend your disbelief a little too much. But I would say it wouldn't be quite as egregious as that big twist in Layton versus Ace Attorney.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Would you be excited to see another game in this series, or do you think it's played out?
I think the series, I think it's good as a trilogy. I would like to see more games from the guy behind it. I think he's got a lot of really ambitious ideas. I think he's got a cool style to his storytelling. But for this particular series, he's almost kind of written himself in a corner where it'd be hard to kind of picture how much further they can take this. Because to be honest, sometimes they go a little far with some of the sci-fi elements to where they're just so overwhelming that reality starts to fall apart a little bit. So it's kind of tricky to follow that up.
Yeah, I guess so. So is this series fairly violent? Like, I'm trying to picture how graphic it really becomes. Is it explicit in the violence, or is it a lot of suggested violence?
It's actually pretty interesting, because the first game, you will see, like, there will be a couple of very violent deaths, but you won't actually see them. You'll see, like, this blood splatter around a corner. But then it'll give you, like, this five-paragraph description of the organs and the guts everywhere and the smell just wafted through his nostrils, like these horrifying descriptions of the bodies and stuff. So it's kind of scary because it's all kind of in your mind, and sometimes, like we said, less is more. What your mind fills in is even scarier. Now the second game, they kind of backed off from that. There's still some death, obviously, but it's not they don't have that kind of narrative driven sort of thing. And at the same time, what they do show is not terribly violent, I'd say. And the third game, they went back to the first game style, except not really. They don't have the narrative thing anymore, but now they actually have people getting killed on screen and stuff. And it's not like unbelievably gruesome, but it's still pretty gross sometimes.
Throughout the three games, do they build a consistent world and plot that is all connected, or is each game kind of individual? And is it easy to believe in the world that is presented to you?
It's a pretty interesting series because they have these pretty heady concepts, but they're pretty much all based on real world events and things that happen. Like, for instance, one of the characters will start talking to you about the scientific concept of like morphology and morphogenetic fields, people being able to do psychic stuff, and it's based in real world stuff, So they kind of introduce a lot of these concepts throughout the series that all have some sort of base in either physics or history or what have you, which makes it kind of neat, It doesn't really just kind of pull stuff out of its butt. So yeah, I'd say the world building is actually pretty good. The games do connect to each other, but by how much, you're not really supposed to know. It's kind of something that's sort of revealed, if this is, part of this or this world or whatever. But there is definitely, if you're going to play the series, I'd say you really do need to start with the first one and go on from there. And yeah, I do think the world building is pretty strong and pretty solid. But, like I said before, I think it gets to the point where there's only so far they can push this story. And I think it kind of stopped at a good spot where it needed to.
Well, gee, talking to you about these games makes me want to lock myself in a room and never come out.
All right.
Thanks for filling us in. Sounds like a cool series, really. I think I'd like to try out the games someday.
Yeah.
We'll put them on my list of 1,000 games that I want to play that I haven't.
Yeah, you know, there's the first two. Wait, sorry. The first one is for the DS. The last two are for the 3DS. I think Zero Escape. I'm sorry, Zero Time Dilemma, which is the third one, just came out a couple months ago. So yeah, I'd recommend them, especially for people who enjoy visual novels or just enjoy something a little different storytelling. And you know, only if you're above 18, though. Sorry, kiddos.
Not for the youngins.
Not for the youngins, yeah.
So, well, on that note, I think we will call it a day for this episode of Bit Bits.
Yeah.
I'm Chris.
I'm Matthew.
And we will see you later.
See ya.